Blog Talk Radio.
Cancer. I'm your host and favorite breast cancer survivor, Tisha, and I'm so glad to have you join me today. So let's get a cup of tea, pull up a chair, and let's chat. Before I introduce my guest for today, I want to thank my family and friends for all their love and support they've given me as I continue to walk in my purpose of bringing breast cancer awareness to the African American community. I also want to thank my friend and colleague, Demario Moore, a.k.a. DJ Ivy Dam, for providing the music for my show. So without further ado, let's have some tea and chat. Today's guest is my friend and the lovely Miss LaWanda Fountain. I met this breast cancer baddie in 2015 at a Young Survivors Coalition symposium in D.C. When we met, we hit it off from the start, and we have been friends ever since. LaWanda is a triple-negative breast cancer survivor from Dale City, Virginia. She is also a patient advocate and a member of Bella Warrior Cancer Survivor Alliance. LaWanda, how are you? LaWanda, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be on here with you, Tisha. This is great. I am so happy and excited. I don't even know what to say next.
When I was in the process of getting this thing started and I was thinking about who I wanted to have on my show, you were one of the one people that stood out. I'm like, I have got to have my girl LaWanda on this show, and I'm just so glad that you took the time out to just talk to us for today and sip on some tea and chat with us. So thank you. Thank you again for coming on. So tell us, let's begin by telling everyone about your breast cancer journey.
Oh, boy. My breast cancer journey began in 2009. The lump was found by myself and my gynecologist at the time because, I'd been keeping up my annual visits with him. We went in, we were doing the exam, and he was like, put your hand right here. So I put my hand there, and I felt what he was feeling, and I was like, oh, I hadn't four, not there. And I have to be honest and say, even though we're supposed to do our self-breast exams every month around the time that we have our cycle, you know, right, 9 times out of 10, we forget. We don't do it every single solitary month. So right, at that point, I was starting to freak out. He was like, well, look, we're not going to freak out. We're not going to put any name to it. He's like, because it could be a cyst. Mm-hmm. He was like, so I'm going to help you set up an appointment to have you go in for an ultrasound guided mammogram. That would have been, and that ended up being my first mammogram ever because I was 36. Yeah, I was 36. It
wow.
was my first mammogram ever. Went in. They said, oh, well, it was like with Ms. Fountain, it's not a cyst. It's a tumor. So we're going to need you to come back for a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Started freaking out again. But in the midst of my freaking out, I remembered whose I was.
Absolutely.
I'm a child of pain. I'm a child of God, and I know how to handle it. It's like, okay, you've never been here before, but you know what steps to take. I gave it to God.
Mm-hmm.
A few days after the results came back from the biopsy, the doctor who did the biopsy told me that I had breast cancer. I was at my desk at work getting ready to do payroll for over 100 people.
Wow.
When I got
when you got the news.
And right, before I got when I got the news. And trying to hold myself together so I can get all the information that I needed, which was from him by way of my gynecologist, the person that I needed to call, which would have been my next step, which was the surgeon that I ended up working with on my, with my for my treatment. When I needed to go and pick up the scans from the mammogram and the biopsy. And then I was basically left on my own right after that.
No support.
No real support, because it's like, okay, this is what you need. This is who you need to call. This is what you
uh-huh.
need to do. Okay, there you go. And so I'm out here flapping in the breeze like a flag. And I'm like, okay, you left me out here. What am I supposed to do? Because no one in my family, save from my dad's baby sister, my aunt, was she was the only person that I knew of that had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some years before. So when I told her, she at first thought I was joking. I'm like, Auntie, I wouldn't joke about something like this. I was like, it's true. I just found out the other day I have breast cancer. I'm on my way to pick up the scans from the biopsy so I can take them when I go meet the surgeon. She was like, oh, my God, okay. She was like, well, keep me posted. So
mm-hmm.
once I found out, so I went, and thank goodness I didn't go by myself. I love my mommy for being there with me.
Thank God.
And one of my good friends, you went all day, and one of my good friends came with me also. And we sat in there, and we talked. He told me the type of breast cancer I had, which I never knew that there was such a thing as a type. All I knew was breast cancer.
Right.
I didn't know there was such thing as triple negative or HER2 positive. I knew none of that because that mm-hmm. wasn't my world.
And explain to the listening audience, what is triple negative breast cancer?
Triple negative breast cancer is one of, well, if it's not one of, it's the more aggressive breast cancers that there are. And if I'm correct, there's about, I think last I saw, there may be at most 8 different types of breast cancer. Triple negative
okay.
breast cancer means there's no, there are no HER2, which is, Lord, my words are leaving me today. It's like, there's no HER2 gene, there's no progesterone, there's no estrogen, which
mm-hmm.
is normally what some cancer cells feed off of.
Right.
And because there were none of those three things, they named it triple negative. And the only way at the time, up until recently, the only way they could treat triple negative breast cancer is with chemotherapy and radiation. Research, praise God, has made it possible to where there are newer things now that can help aid
yes.
in your healing of triple negative breast cancer as opposed to solely chemotherapy and radiation.
Right.
And
right.
then it depends on your stage and if you did a genetics test. I'm glad I did. if you're able to even have that particular, we'll call it extra medication, that extra aid, that extra help, along with chemotherapy and radiation.
Okay.
Right. Once I got all the information that I needed from the surgeon, which I ended up staying with, because what a lot of us don't have is that doctor who speaks to us like we're regular everyday people, because we are regular everyday people. Mm-hmm. Every now and then we get that doctor who speaks over our head using all the big words and the terminology, which scares us and freaks us out and makes us not want to come back.
Right.
Surgeon I was given talked to me like I was a regular, ordinary person, like we was cool,
mm-hmm.
we joked, we chit-chatted. It made it comfortable for me to be able to handle what was next, to be able to walk into my oncologist's office, the radiologist's office, whoever's office, mm-hmm. and know that I was going to be okay, that I was in good hands, because the surgeon set up the team for me. And I was like, well, if he's like this, then the rest of them have to be about the same, on the same level. So I'll be fine. And I thank God for that, because if it wasn't for that, I would have been having, like, second opinions and running all mm-hmm. over God's creation, trying to find the help that I needed while this thing was possibly growing in my chest.
Right.
So I'm very thankful to this day that I didn't have those issues, those problems. And I only bring that up because over the years, the different symposiums that I've gone to, the different conferences that I've gone to and sat in on, mm-hmm. where women were talking about their experiences with the doctors that they were put with in order
right.
to help them get over and get through their cancer
mm-hmm.
treatment was horrifying, it was angering, it was everything but good and
That's
happy.
It. And that's why it's so, so important to find that team of doctors that you are comfortable with so that
yes.
you can get through this, because it's terrifying in itself that you have cancer, but then to have a team of medical experts that's not with you mentally, physically, to help you
right.
get through that complicate things even more. So I'm grateful for the fact that you were able to find that team of doctors. And I'm grateful for mine as well, being a breast cancer survivor myself. I'm grateful for my
yes.
team of doctors, because they were, just like yours, I was very comfortable with them. And I think that played a big part in helping me get through breast cancer. But
yes.
this was not your first bout of cancer.
No,
you were also,
10 years later.
You were also diagnosed a second. Girl, you a bad one. You bad. Tell us about it.
All I know is ain't nothing but the grace of God that I'm still here, that I have not lost my mind or anything else.
Nobody
10 years later, right before I was preparing to leave on vacation with some of my girls to celebrate my 10-year cancerversary.
Mm.
I get a call from the office that did my annual mammogram a few
mm-hmm.
weeks before. They were
mm-hmm.
like, Miss Fountain, we're calling because the results came back from your mammogram. The radiologist, they saw something in those scans that wasn't there a year ago. So I'm letting you know now so we can go ahead and set an appointment. And just so you know, a letter will still be coming in the mail basically saying the same thing that I'm just telling you, but we need you to come back in for another mammogram. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, just to let you know, you just caught me, because in a couple of days I'm flying out to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. I was like, let's set my appointment for the day after I get back, which is what I did. I set my
okay.
appointment for the day after I got back from my trip. I went in like everything was okay, because I've had this happen before. I've had it happen before to where I went in for a mammogram, They thought they saw something. I went back for a second mammogram and an ultrasound, and it was just a shadow. There was nothing there. I thank God for it then and to this day. I still thank God for how much research and everything involving breast cancer in women is concerned has grown. Because if it wasn't for 3D mammograms, there's no telling where I would be if I would still be here right now.
Right, right.
I went for the second mammogram and followed up with an ultrasound. Before I left, they let me know, Ms. Found, there is something here. So while you're here, let's go ahead and schedule an appointment for you to come in for a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Lord, what is going on? It's been 10 years. I am cancer-free.
Right.
What's happening? Because I'm not understanding. But we're going to go do this because you've
mm-hmm.
been making way for me to get here. You've made a way for me to not have to wait a couple of weeks for a biopsy. I'm going,
right.
I went, on the end of, like a couple days later, I went in for the biopsy. As normal, about 3 days after the biopsy, I got the call. I actually missed the call because the building that I was in, I had no signal.
Mm-hmm.
When I left the building on my way home, I saw I had a voicemail from the doctor who did the ultrasound. I called her back, and she was like, Ms. Fountain, she was like, I don't know where you are right now. I was like, I'm outside. I'm on my way to the commuter bus so I can go home. She was like, well, I'm going to need you to sit down. I'm like, oh, wonderful. When she told me, all I could tell her was, okay. She
mm-hmm.
was like, okay. I was like, that's all I have in me right now is okay.
Like, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I was like, will there be anything coming in the mail? She was like, yes. She was like, I had to let you know in person. I didn't want anything coming in the mail that's very impersonal. And I was just like, you know what, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you for, you know, for looking out that much for just me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that instance, I was anybody. I was the 1 in 8 again.
Right.
And
right.
I hung up the phone with her. I made my way to the commuter bus, trying not to cry, because walking down the streets in D.C., whether then or even now, is and bawling in tears is not a good look for a black woman.
Exactly.
No, you don't know what's
right.
happening. You don't know what's going on inside of her. It's like, okay, wait a minute. So I got on the bus, headed home. I was waiting to tell my mother once I got in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But she called me while I was on the bus to see what we were having for dinner or if I could make a stop. I was just like, sure, no problem. And she was like, by the way, what's wrong? So I told her, I was like, I got some bad news today. I was like, but I can't talk about it right now. I was like, as soon as I get home, I will tell you. She had an idea.
Okay.
And so she
mommy.
Said, and I was just like, and all I could say was, yes, mommy. She was
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I'll see you when you get home. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
all right. The whole ride home, I'm like, the good thing is I had a seat to myself. So I could just like stare out the window and think to myself, what is happening? And the funny thing is, I wasn't upset. I wasn't happy. I wasn't like sad or upset, but I was pissed.
Yeah.
Because didn't understand
10 years.
Why after
10 years.
10 years this is happening
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was like, God, you and I had a conversation while I sat in my room right
mm-hmm.
before I shaved the rest of my hair off the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We made a deal that whatever you asked of me to do, counted done, because all I wanted was you for to take this thing from me. As far as I was concerned, you did that. You healed me, so what is going on? I was pissed. I got home, sat and talked with mommy, made dinner, ate dinner. One of my
uh-huh.
girlfriends called, and when I told her, She was more, the funny thing is she was more pissed than I was. And I'm the one with it.
And you're the one with it, yeah.
I'm the one with it. She was more pissed than me. It kind of made me laugh. It made me feel a little bit better, but it still hurt.
It still hurt.
I was still angry. But, yeah, hearing her and her anger and rage was like, okay. All the cussing I don't do, she did for me. So it kind of helped relieve everything. And then she let me know that, you know what, she was like, LaWanda, have you cried? I was like, I shed some tears. She was like, no. Have you cried? I was like, no. She was like, I'm here, I'm on the phone, I'm not going anywhere. If you feel it, just let it go. I hollered, I yelled, I bawled while I was on the phone with her. Once I was done, it was like a release. It's like, okay, I got it out my system.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going
to
be other days where I'm going to cry. And it's not going to be as bad as this, though. But, yeah, I was ready to fight. I was like, okay, we know what to do. We've been here before. Hate that we're here again, but I know what to do. I know who to call. I know who I can lean on and who I can't. And I know what next moves I need to make. It was like, okay, God, you put the right people around me, and I thank you for that. I even thank God daily for the people he took away. Because everything happens for a reason. Every person is in your circle for a season. And I'm okay with that.
Was your treatment different from the first?
It was slightly different from the first time.
Okay.
One, the tumor was much smaller than the first time, so I didn't have to have I chose to have a lumpectomy.
Okay.
But before I made that my final decision, I decided after some research that I had read that someone else had shared about new findings in the world of genetics, it was like, you know what, it might be a good idea to do my genetics test the second time, because the first time I did it was, well, as of last year, was 8 years before. And it came back negative across the board. I wasn't a carrier. I didn't have BRCA1, BRCA2, or I didn't have anything. So even then, it didn't really make sense of why I got breast cancer. But within those 8 years, they had been making, researchers had been making more studies on the BRCA1 and the BRCA2 genes, and other genes that have been popping up in other women around the world that also cause that can cause other breast cancers and other cancers, like ovarian cancer or bone cancer, all other cancers. So I was just like, okay, I think I need to do my genetics test again. But when I go see my surgeon, now that he knows that I have cancer again, I'm going to see what he says. Before I could even ask him what he thought about doing a second genetics test, he was already on it. And he was like, oh, by the way, he was like, I looked at your chart, looked at your records from when you were last here, and I see you did do a genetics test, but I think you should do it again. And I was like, you know what, I was getting ready to ask you about that. He was like, yeah, he's like, because it's been 10 years. This doesn't make any sense. He was like, but I know that there have been changes and they have found new things because they basically broadened the spectrum of what they were looking for and what they were looking at when it came to the BRCA genes and the other genes that other women have been coming up with.
Right.
So it was like, okay, set the appointment for that. It normally takes about 2 weeks or so for the results to come back from a genetics test. Within those 2 weeks, I had decided, I was like, look, I don't know which way this is going to go, but if it comes back, it is a gene that's connected to why I got breast cancer again, this won't be a lumpectomy. It'll be a double mastectomy.
Explain to those really quick that are listening, what is a lumpectomy versus a mastectomy?
A, lo- A lumpectomy is where they just take the tumor, especially if it's a small tumor, they just take the tumor from out of your breast tissue and maybe a little bit of the surrounding tissue and leave everything else. They close you back up. They test that lump. They test that tumor and the surrounding tissue to see and to make sure the cancer hasn't spread anywhere else, that it was just contained. It's different, and then also some insurance companies may call it a partial mastectomy because they are taking something from your breast. They're taking tissue and something from your breast.
Okay.
But yeah, a lumpectomy is where they just take the tumor and some surrounding tissue and leave the rest of the tissue in your breast. They close you up and let you go while they test what they remove from you to see if anything has spread or changed, or if there's something more that they didn't see in the microscope that they can see with the actual tumor and examining it there.
Okay.
So once I got once I made my mind up of what I may or may not do or what may change with my decision, 2 weeks went by, still no results back from the company that did the genetics test. My genetics nurse was on and off the phone with me and letting me know that, you know, she's still waiting to hear back from the company with my results. The results did not come back until the day before my scheduled surgery. Came back that I'm BRCA1. And before you ask me to explain, it's a genetic mutation that causes breast cancer. It can also cause ovarian cancer. How it happens, how it occurs, I do not know. But once I found out I was BRCA1, it answered the question of why, you know, 10 years later,
I
have breast cancer. But why it wasn't seen 8 years ago, I don't know. I don't know if it was because they only knew but so much, they had only researched so much about the gene, which is why afterwards they decided, I guess, when other women came in and were showing more than just what they had researched about, like, you know what, we need to study this again, which is understandable. Things happen over time. Things change over time. I get it. I just wish I knew earlier to where I could have been more proactive. But having seen the research and read some of the studies, that helped me make a decision before I had to literally make a decision of how I wanted things to go.
Right.
Which is where the whole advocacy and self-advocacy thing comes into play that you were talking about earlier on when you were introducing me. Over these 10, now 11 years, having gone to different conferences like YSC, which is Young Survivors Coalition, or LBBC, which is Living Beyond Breast Cancer, and a couple other organizations, you learn, and even once you're in this world, you learn what's right and what's not quite right. You learn how to speak up for yourself when no one else would.
You are your best advocate.
Right. You learn quickly to be your best advocate because sometimes your right hand isn't with you. Sometimes you are by yourself in this thing and you have no choice, because if you don't speak up, you may not see tomorrow, because to be honest, we're not promised it.
We're not promised tomorrow. Absolutely.
So, yeah, so I made sure whenever I get a chance and my mind is clear, I take the time to learn what's out there in the world of breast cancer so I can be a help not just to myself, but my peers, my sisters like you and my girl Vonda and Kelly and Shelly and all the other girls and the women that I've met over the years that I can be there for them, or better yet, I can be there for the person who finds out tomorrow morning that they now have breast cancer and don't know what to do. I know now how to be that help for them.
And be that support system.
As well as myself. So, yeah, it's been, this second go-around has been a journey. And as you had asked me before, treatment was slightly different.
Okay, so how are you feeling now?
I changed from a lumpectomy to a double mastectomy. They used to tell women way back when, well, if you get a double mastectomy, which is basically taking the majority of the tissue out of your breast and either leaving you flat or giving you implants, or now what they have is a surgery called a deep flap. People joke and say it's like a free tummy tuck, but it's more intensive than your basic tummy tuck, where they take the tissue from your stomach area and put that tissue in your breast area.
Right.
Forming breast for you, so because you don't want to be flat, which is your prerogative, which is the surgery I'm going to have. But I chose to do a double mastectomy because I knew from studies and reading that even though it does not completely erase chance of getting breast cancer again, which is the fib. And I don't know if I should call the fib or not, because some doctors may honestly not have known back then, but it was assumed that if you had a double mastectomy, then that it took away the chance of getting breast cancer again. And some women, sad to say, found out later on that that was false, because they ended up with breast cancer again.
Okay.
But I chose to do a double mastectomy, not because I assumed that it would take away all the chance, but I knew that it would lessen the percentage of me developing breast cancer again.
Okay.
I was like, I need to do this for myself. From what I read, from what I learned, and for what I felt comfortable with, because this is about me. This is my body that God gave.
Right.
The least I can do is my level best to take care of it. So
I decided.
What'd you say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I decided when I was on the phone with the genetics nurse, who was the one that called me and told me what the results were. And I was like, well, let the surgeon and the plastic surgeon know it won't be a lumpectomy tomorrow. It'll be a double mastectomy. And she was like, okay. She was like, well, hold on. She's like, because I just got off the phone not long ago and told the surgeon, you know, what the results were. And he said, you know, find out what Ms. Trump wants to do. So she was like, so hold on. I'm going to call him back and tell him and see what he said. Well, his thing was he was fine with it, but was like, well, we may have to change the date because they set up the surgery like a day before with everything that you're going to need. And I prayed when she told me, because she took me off a hold. She came back on the line with me while he was getting in contact with the plastic surgeon to tell her to see what she had to say. So while she's telling me, while the nurse is telling me the news, I'm praying. I was like, Lord, I've been waiting long enough for this surgery to happen. I waited longer than normal to get the results back from this genetics test. I can't wait anymore. I was just like, the surgery needs to happen tomorrow. I need your help to make this surgery still happen tomorrow. The surgeon called back while I was on the line with the nurse still, said that he just got off the phone with the plastic surgeon. Plastic surgeon was like, oh, that's fine. We can still do it tomorrow. She was like, LaJuan and I, when we first met, we talked about the different types of surgery. So, and what, you know, and what my role is in it. So, yeah, she was like, She's like, I don't really have anything else scheduled after her. So, yeah, we can still do it tomorrow. And he was like, okay. All I said was, thank you, Lord.
Okay.
I told the nurse, I was just like, I will be, I was like, what time is, I was like, if I'm correct, surgery is at 5, I have to be there at 5 in the morning. She was like, yep. She's like, I'm looking at that now. You have to be here at 5 in the morning. I was like, okay, I'll see everybody at 5 in the morning. I hung up with her, was like, okay, I'm still pissed that I have this. I'm still pissed that I have to go through this again, but I have answers now. I have clarity now.
Right, right.
I know what my next moves are. I'm not still trying to figure it all out. I called my girlfriend again, told her what the results were. All the cussing I don't do, she did for me. And was like, she was like, well, shoot. She was like, you and I, because she and I met in chemo the first go around.
Okay.
We've been tight ever since. So she was like, well, shoot. She was like, if you found this out after 10 years, maybe I should look into. I was like, yeah, you might want to look into getting your genetics test done again. When I met with my
all cancer patients, I think that's something that all breast cancer patients should definitely look into. If they have not gotten that BRCA test, genetic test done, that is definitely something to get done. And there's always that that level of anxiety year after year.
Of course.
That thought will always be, you know, always in the back of your mind that, you know, what if this is the year? You mentioned earlier, you know, there's so much knowledge that we have gained throughout the years, and we are more knowledgeable now than we were 10 years ago. Technology
Absolutely.
And medicine has changed now than it did 10 years ago. So we're better prepared.
Absolutely.
When it does come again, or, you know, if it is, does come again, and in your case it did, but you were better prepared for it than you were the first go around.
Exactly. Exactly. Because the first time was all brand new, because I could lean on my aunt because she was my aunt, she was my family, she was my blood. But then I couldn't lean on her because there was something she didn't remember. She didn't remember what type she had. Which makes me wonder if they even told her what type of breast cancer she had. Because it was only a few years, I say at least 5 years before I was diagnosed, she had it, that she had gone through it.
Okay.
And in the past 10, 11 years, seeing the growth and the changes and the things that they've been able to come up with to make treatment that much better or to lessen treatment. That wasn't there when I went through, and definitely not there when she went through. It's like, okay, I can see the growth, so I can't be mad at that.
Right.
But in this world, we have to pay attention to the changes. You have to keep your ears open. You
Absolutely.
Really do.
Yeah. Now, we know, how do you handle yourself mentally? We know that cancer can affect the body physically. It can affect our mental state, our emotional state. So what do you do to not depression or to just go insane? What do you do?
First of all, depression has never been a friend of mine. When I notice it, I try and get rid of it. Some people laugh at it. I'm an extroverted introvert. There are times where I like to be by myself just because I actually need to be by myself sometimes. Other times I like to be around people, whether it's one person or a group of people. I'm that person. I'm that chick. I'm that extroverted introvert. I go both ways. As far as what I do, sometimes if I just need to be by myself, I just need some quiet time to quiet my mind, I color.
Okay.
One of my old friends, thing called diamond art. It's a grid. It's a picture on a grid with like letters and numbers. It's almost like paint by number, but with little gemstones.
that's something new.
It was new to me. I was just like, but it relaxed me, just like coloring did.
Okay.
Sometimes we need to, we as women, not just women of color, but we as women, we're so, whether we're married or we're booed up or even single, we're still there for everybody but us. Sometimes you need that time to just do nothing, to just vegetate, to have that moment, those moments of clarity where there is nothing swimming in your head. You're not worried about anything. You're not thinking about anything. Stuff like that, little artsy-fartsy stuff like that. I call that art therapy. Stuff like that, it calms me, so it helps. So that way, all the drama, everything that comes with being a cancer patient does not weigh me down. Do I still have anxiety sometimes when I go to the, when I'm on my way to the doctor's office? Yeah. Because even though you feel fine and as far as you know things look good, you never know.
Right.
Once you're a part of the family that you never have to be a part of, it's like you never know. You never know. And then, of course, I try my best to stay prayed up. I think having parents that had me in a Christian school, that had me in church and Sunday school, if not every Sunday, every other Sunday, gave me those roots, gave me that background to where I not only know who I am, but I know whose I am. And as long as I've got God on my side and in my life and in my heart, I can make it through anything.
Having a strong faith base, having a strong support system, self-care.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It all comes together. And as we were talking about doctors and stuff earlier, about the different types of doctors there are and how they treat you, having doctors that understand that helps even more when you're in the middle of treatment. When they see, because it helps them work with you that much more. They're worried about you because you're a patient, you're going through chemo and all this other stuff through them. So they want to make sure that you're taking it okay and you're handling it okay physically. But they're also looking at you, even though they're not therapists, they're also looking at you mentally.
Okay.
And emotionally, and seeing how see how you carry on. Like when they come in the room, when you're there for your checkup or for your visit, when they come in the room and you're like, hey, doctor, they're like, okay, they're in a good mood. Even in the midst of all this madness, they're in a good mood. We can sit here and laugh a little bit and still know that this is serious.
Yes. Well, girl,
I'm not worried about them worried about me.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for coming on and just sharing your story with us. Really quickly, tell us how our listeners can follow you on social media.
Oh, my goodness. You can find me on Facebook at LaWanda Fountain. That's LaWanda, Fountain like a water fountain. I'm also at LaWanda Fountain on IG. And then if you want any information about Bella Warrior, the organization that I am proudly and gladly a part of, that's bellawarrior.org. That's B as in boy, E-L-L-A, W-A-R-R-I-O-R, bellawarrior.org.
Well, listeners, you have heard it. She is definitely one that you need to follow. I am so glad. I am so, so glad that you have taken this time to come on and just talk to me today and have some tea and chat.
Oh,
absolutely. And for my listening audience out there, I just want to thank you again, and I hope that you were inspired and blessed by what you have heard today, just like I was. And I want everybody to stay tuned for my next episode coming up next month. But until then, this is your host and your
favorite breast cancer survivor, Tisha, signing off, wishing everyone good health, and everyone, please stay safe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie.